Hey, Frog fans, welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 154 for December 4th of 2020. And on tonight's podcast, we've got the boss, Ryan Zeller. Good evening, Ryan.
Hey, everybody.
Good to see y'all. You having a good week? Did you eat a lot of turkey?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yep. And I love this cooler weather. It's been so nice.
Yeah, we had a bit of a cold front come through, so it's been lovely in the Metroplex, and the rain for the most part's kind of stayed away. That made it even better.
Yep. So
that's really good.
You had a good time down in San Antonio?
I did. Yeah, we had we had family over, and then they pulled out the curfew the day after we got there, and so it was interesting. But other than that, it was great. I made pies galore and cookies. I was the baker for the Thanksgiving dinner, and it turned out really good. So
nice.
Yeah, it turned out really
good. You are a man of many talents, Sean. I learn something new every week with you, all the different talents you have.
Well, thank you. I'm one of those people that can win a bar bet, and that's pretty much it. So anyway, also on tonight's podcast, we have Hunter Nix. Hey, Hunter.
What's up, everyone?
Hunter's got this sweet purple light in the background. He's kind of setting a mood.
Got to. It's nice. Gets me in my frog mood.
Yeah, it's really nice. I like it. We also have Nathan Hernandez on the podcast tonight. Hey, Nathan.
Hello. I too actually got to make some pies this past week.
Wow.
Yeah? Which ones did you make?
My family has a recipe for a chocolate pie.
Ooh, so very nice.
It's my favorite. It's always my favorite. So they taught everybody, I guess everybody kind of got taught a certain dish from my grandmother, and I got the chocolate pie, my brother got the cheesecake.
Oh.
That's neat. Yeah.
You got the better end of that deal. That's nice.
For myself, yes.
Yes.
Some people prefer the cheesecake, but we won't get into that today.
Yeah. No, that's my daughter's into making cheesecakes, so we did one of those as well, so it was all good. And rounding out our panel tonight, we've got TCU Hall of Famer WC Nix. Dubber.
I tell you what, I'm still full from Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what I did. I got to tell you the truth. I cheated. I drove right down to a bakery and I got me a couple of Schlotschnagel cheesecakes.
Oh.
But let me tell you, they're the best cheesecake you'll ever eat.
They are. I got about half one of those to take home.
It's so amazing. Good. Yeah. It's still purple, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool.
You know, I've gotten the red velvet there because I didn't realize that you had to order Schlotzenegel. And so when I finally, it was good. I mean, you know, it's good. But I went back to that one. It's the best cheesecake I think I've ever had.
Let's go ahead and give Maurice a little plug there.
Yeah.
That's Maurice Ahern has it his own. It's beautiful. I need to go back there. His restaurant. So you drove over to his new place and
so
it's gorgeous. Got a fireplace inside. It's just a big bakery. They do meals too. You can order lasagna and all spaghetti, all different kinds of entrees for evening. And if you're sick of working out of the house, go there and work. Like I said, they've got a fireplace and everything's spread out and you can do your social distancing, sip on some great coffee and eat some good food. It's called,
Grounds and Gold.
Okay, Grounds and Gold. And it's over
on
in
Bowen and I-20.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
yep. Which sure, is,
it's 3 minutes from my house. we've become kind of regulars over there, so it's been excellent.
So I will tell you a little funny story. I after somebody got one for my wife for her birthday, and I loved it, so I went and got me a red velvet, and it was good. It was real good, but it wasn't as good as Schlotzenegel. So, you know, me and my wife were dieting, and so I tried to slide one in my house, but I don't know what about it. And I left the stinking bow out with Micah's picture on it. I busted myself.
Oh, no. Oh. That's funny.
She gave it to my room and goes, you know, I'm really craving some cheesecake. And I had my back to her because I didn't want to look at her because I knew, I'm pretty sure she had me busted.
That's cute. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, it's, well, it's worth a trip if you haven't been over there. It's yeah, excellent. Awesome. Yeah, definitely. I like the Mica Mocha. Is my recommendation.
Ooh,
if you're, if you're interested in coffee, that was a really good one. Yeah. But yeah, Maurice can bake. Boy, he's really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, he can.
So that was really nice. Yeah, so you know, last week we had a Thanksgiving break, and I think we all were all with family. Unfortunately, though, we do have some sad news to start us off with tonight, and that is Shannon Brazil is usually on our podcast every week. Tragically lost his brother on Sunday night. Dwayne Brazil Jr. Well, I'm not going to go into the details here, but let's just say that it was a tragic loss, and we're all feeling for him. And obviously Shannon and his family are really broken up. This was sudden and senseless, and it is a tragedy all the way around. And of course, if you're interested in helping out his family and, you know, his wife and his kids, we've got a GoFundMe link up on the forum, and you can go online and you can donate there. I think as of this morning, I think they were at 15,000, I think, towards their goal. Actually, excuse me, I just checked, they're now close to 30,000. So they've actually reached their goal as of today.
Oh,
so Frog fans really kind of came through. And I know the Louisville area has also been really supportive, as Dwayne also played with Louisville. So, you know, this was one of those things that it took us all by surprise and shock. And I really feel bad, and our condolences to Shannon and his family for the loss of his brother. And I know that he's hurting a lot. So anybody who want to lift up his family in prayer, I know they would appreciate it.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Well spoken, Sean.
Well, thank you. So yeah, sorry to start the podcast on a somber note, but Shannon definitely needs all of our prayers this week.
Yep, he does.
Absolutely. So let's move on a little bit and let's talk some recruiting news. Hunter, I think you said we have a new recruit.
We do indeed. This past week, right after Thanksgiving on November 30th, TCU picked up a wide receiver recruit from Lubbock Escotado. I had to write that down, make sure I said that right. Lubbock Escotado. He's a 6 foot, 180 pound wide receiver. He ran a 10.97 in the 100 last spring before everything got shut down. This year he had 1,069 yards receiving, 10 TDs, 520 yards rushing, 7 TDs. He was committed to UNT. We offered him, and then he pretty much committed a week or two after. So this dude's a burner, really, you know, a fast guy. You know, we love our fast, you know, short, fast receivers. So we've had a few of them over the years, but this guy's kind of a Darius Davis clone. You know, think that nice guy. He's going to be a punt returner. He's going to be a receiver like that, inside receiver. And yeah, good pickup for the Frogs. You know, not the highest recruited guy, but you know, definitely can be a ball player for us.
No, he turns out to be another Davis clone. We're going to have to stop with the Lubbock jokes.
We are going to have to. Yeah, this one seems to have Sonny Cumbie all over it. You know, we've had a few Lubbock guys the last few years, between him and then Blair Conright. So, you know, getting a few of those guys, definitely recruiting all of Texas.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see, you know, what he's able to contribute on the field, because he, like you said, he seems like just a rocket. So it'll be interesting to see how they could utilize him in this offense moving forward. And, well,
ball too.
Sorry, what was that, Deborah?
I said it sounds like he catch the ball too.
Yeah, the guy has a lot of college or a lot of stats, so you know he's proven it so far.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's always good to have one of those guys. Yeah. So, talking about the schedule here, we had a bit of an announcement this week, and there was actually two announcements. It first kind of caught everybody off guard. At first, it seemed like TCU was going to schedule a 10th game, and it was going to be the battle for the Iron Skillet or at least the attempt, the second attempt for the Battle of Iron Skillet against SMU. And then within about 24 hours, that morphed from the Ponies to Louisiana Tech. And it looks now that La Tech's going to be coming into town here in a couple weeks to play the Frogs for our 10th game. What do you all think about that?
I'm excited about the 10th game.
Yeah, exactly. I'm excited about it too. I'm disappointed about SMU, though, of course. I mean, I need to get that skillet back.
And it looks like they I think are having some COVID problems right now. Their game for this weekend's, you know, not happening anymore. So it looked like that was kind of the big deal there, which sucks. But, you know, it's good we're getting a 10th game. At least, you know, we can win. If worst comes to worst, we can be even in the record if we don't win this week.
Yeah.
Hey, and in 2020, that's positive.
Hey, it's a miracle.
Yeah. After the way some of the games have gone this year, I'll take that. But you know what? The best thing about this is that the fact that SMU canceled on us, they can no longer hold it over us that we canceled on them.
Exactly.
So yeah,
we only had a 10-week deal where they had to say, oh, well, you guys canceled. Now, you know, we get another year of it.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. It's like you guys saw what we did to Kansas. Mm-hmm. You got nervous.
Golly, that was amazing.
I'm kind of enjoying, though, that like teams are scheduling these games. You know, usually these games are scheduled 6 to 10 years in advance. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of showing that we can figure it out in 2 weeks. So that just gives less obstacles to more fun game matchups in the future, I feel like. Like, we've opened Pandora's box now. You can't all the way close it. So, you know, hopefully, you know, like Coastal Carolina and BYU playing this weekend, you know, throwing that game out there. They just scheduled it because Liberty fell through and, you know, trying to get better games on the schedule. So, yeah, it could be kind of cool.
Yeah,
I like that idea. You know, staying flexible. You know, there are some good silver linings that have come out of this, this whole pandemic. And I think the flexibility that everybody's seen in their personal lives and obviously are from a – you know, professional standpoint and the business standpoint of college football is a good thing. So, yeah, I agree with you, Hunter. I think that's a good thing moving forward. So, talking about other good things I just mentioned a little while ago, let's talk about this Kansas game because this was a bit of a beatdown. And as we were talking before the podcast, I think this was more of a situation where Kansas made us look really good rather than TCU's offense walking away with a 50-plus point game here.
Well, I will say one thing. We ran the ball well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
We did run the ball well. It's interesting. Evan started this week, didn't he?
And he had the most carries he's had, and he all of a sudden has 100 yards.
100 yards, and, you know, I mean.
Well-deserved.
I mean, he's smooth. I mean, but, you know, the passing still. Of course, I've heard that we weren't really – we were trying to go, run the ball, just win. Run the clock, get out of there. And that was what we accomplished that. I mean, we did. I mean, because.
Man, if you're ever going to work on your passing game, that's the game to do it. You know, like, try to figure it out against Kansas. Because I'll say this, I wish we could play Kansas more than once a year because Kansas is bad.
Oh, yeah.
They are not. I mean, it's not even. They are not good at all. I mean,
that last quarterback they put in had some potential, though.
For sure.
I mean, I gotta admit, I kind of felt happy for him a little bit. You know, it's good to see that.
Yeah, but even then, they are not going to win a game this year. They're bad, bad, bad.
Well, they're having a hard time. I mean, I'm gonna tell you, our three touchdown passes, our guys. I mean, I was scared they're gonna drop the ball. Because they were so wide open. It's kind of like, please catch the ball, please. I mean, because you throw it. I mean, there's nobody within 10 yards.
If you see that once a game, that's huge. But three times, and honestly four, because Darius Davis had the one that he dropped.
Well,
I mean.
The first one, it was funny. Max and the tight end, what's
Bro Wells.
Yeah, I mean, they're looking at each other laughing and kind of raising their hands up at each other like, well, I know I wasn't supposed to throw it to you, but you were so wide open. That's what it looked like to me. I mean, it's like, hey. And they were like, hey, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was – but, hey, you know what? We went there and we did what we were supposed to. We didn't make it okay. We took care of business. Our defense played pretty good.
Well, Caesar had a couple of really good plays. It was kind of nice to see him, you know, have a little bit of a rebound.
He did. It was an up and down week for him. That one drive where he went, it was like penalty. And one of them probably shouldn't have been.
No.
One of them was a pretty bad call. Tack. But to see him get some good towards the end of the game was good. You know, he's had to grow up, let's say that in Gary's term. He's had to grow up the last few weeks. Yes. No, but I'll say this. He hasn't played much until they kind of had to throw him in because he's our fifth corner. I mean, we've had a lot of injuries.
Yep.
Hey, he had a pick six at the end, though.
He had a pick six at the end. Yeah, he finished strong.
Yep.
Yeah, good for him. Like I've mentioned this before, he does remind me a little bit of some of the growing pains that Anthony Tejada had. Yep. And we all see how he turned out. So, I mean, Frog fans, you just got to give him some time. Gary trusts him out there on the island and let him do his thing.
Yep, and I'll say this. Like, we put our guys on islands for sure. Yep. That's why that's why whenever they come out of here, they're usually pretty good. I mean, look at Gladney now. He's been a day one starter. You know, when guys come out of here and play for a long time, they have a lot of that man experience that you need to be successful in the NFL. So,
that's right.
You know, it takes some growing pains.
Thick skin. You learn how to grow thick skin real quick.
Yep. Yeah, if we can figure out to get more pressure from the line, I think this defense, especially going into next season, this defense is going to be something interesting.
Mm-hmm. So our defensive line, our defensive ends, especially the two starters, have really started to come on. I think. The last few weeks they're playing a lot better. They're starting to get a pass rush, and like I said, I love Coleman. I mean, the true freshman. I like them both, but you know, it just seems like we're getting. I've seen a lot of growth there. I've seen a lot of growth as far as that. They played pretty well.
Yeah, it's nice to see them kind of grow up. And and we need it because that's been probably the Achilles heel of this team in the first half of the season. Without any pressure on the opposing quarterback, you know, you can't do that all game long and expect to be able to come out with a win because eventually they're just going to wear you down and then they're going to start running up points. So it doesn't matter how you know, good your offense can be at that point in time, the dam's going to break and you're done for. So it's good to see those guys come around because that's going to really help solidify this defense moving forward. And of course, we'll find out a little bit more this week, you know, how much of that was just Kansas or how much of this is just the fact these guys are improving.
Yeah. Well, and you also got to think like, you know, Kari Coleman is a true freshman, which next year he's going to be a true freshman. And Ochon Mathis is a redshirt sophomore. Next year, he's still going to be a redshirt sophomore. This year does not count towards their eligibility. So, really, we're young at that position, and these guys are getting a full year to really, you know, just play a lot of football, get a lot of snaps under their belt, and you know, after a year in the weight program as well, like Kari Coleman, that guy's undersized, but you know, think once he gains 15 pounds. He's going to be in the mix, you know. He's going to be – think of – he's already made this high step as a freshman. The next step, you know, he's right there. So it's exciting.
Well, and with Patterson's defense, having a year like this is so valuable for these young guys because it's one of the hardest schemes you could possibly try to run with a college team. And so any experience you can get – I mean, you see this from year to year. These guys, you know, from year one to year two, how much they advance and how much better they do in that system. Year two to year three is even a bigger jump. I mean, having this year is going to be huge for a lot of these guys.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, got to give kudos as far as the blocking up front on the offensive line. You know, I guess they said we're down to five linemen. I don't know. I don't know if he had a fair, I mean, you know, sub or not, but – And I will say, there's a guy I've been critical on, and he played the whole game, and he played well. You know what? He acted like he cared. He tried to finish blocks for the first time. And they're all kind of getting it finally. It seemed like, I mean, it seemed like they're getting better about that. But, you know, I mean, there's one thing going out and blocking and trying to get in front of somebody, and they're really blocking and getting after it. And, you know, I thought they did that against Kansas. I thought they did a great job of it. And they weren't perfect, but, you know, they've shuffled some guys around, no doubt, on the line right now because they're beat up offensively.
Yeah. Oh, well, the run game told that entire story. I mean, yeah. Those guys got after it and did well. And it, yeah, we keep making jokes. It's Kansas. But Kansas has some talented guys there. Yeah. And you know, seeing the offensive line have that sort of success is nice to see. It's a good kind of progress that you want to see for those guys, even when they are banged up. And for them to have that sort of, like you said, that drive and that passion to finish those blocks, that's a really good thing to see because we did not see that in the beginning of the year at all.
Agreed.
Well, even 2 weeks ago.
Oh, 2 weeks ago, yeah.
No, that receiver they have is good, though. The one that caught that touchdown on Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after the refs helped him out, but it's fine.
Yeah, we can talk about the refereeing if you want.
I think we had a good game against the refs this week.
Yeah.
I'm just thankful it's at home.
I do think Meacham felt good about this one after he got held to negative yards for most of the game. The year we played him at our place when Meacham was their OC, yeah. We held him to negative yards, and I think it was good for him to – to be on the other end. Not that he hadn't been before, like we'd played Kansas before, but I'm sure it felt good for him to just witness that one.
Well, and just a reminder, that was the one that after the game where there was a picture of him in the stairwell.
I hated that picture.
Oh god, that was so sad. Yeah,
such a depressing picture.
Yeah. I wish they'd gotten the OC this year.
Yeah.
How long were they were negative rushing for into the second half, right?
I think they had like 1 yard rushing in the third quarter like that.
Pretty far through the first quarter, it was negative 47 for a while there.
Yeah. And then they got some passing yards, and then it evened out. Yeah, it was negative rushing for a while.
I'll say this, yeah, Kansas, we should beat Kansas that bad every time, though. Like if we shouldn't be close to Kansas ever because they were really bad.
We have bad years. Every time we have a bad year, we blow them out. And then when we're having a really good year,
That's true.
Keep
it close. Yeah.
We're kind of like an ice storm. We're always up there in an ice storm.
2014.
Everybody stopped.
Yeah. That was bad. Not good, but
it was a big win, a big victory. Yeah. We went and did what we're supposed to.
Exactly.
Big. Looks like we were, you know, it didn't. That's a good thing for me. Is, you know, at the end of the game, I was like, you know what? It was boring at the end. I just wanted to get over because we were winning. And we were supposed to.
I was like, there was nothing boring about that game. Not one thing.
I think we did. I don't know about last year. Or early the year before, but I think we did keep close to a streak of having a punt return for a touchdown against them.
Mm. Yeah, we scored in every aspect of the game.
Yeah, because Darius had one this week. I want to say he did last year.
DJ had one.
Terp had two. Cam had one in 2014. I think we always take one back on them somehow in the special teams game. So that was a good one to see keep going because that was a bad punt.
I would need to go back and take a look at Mark Cohen's notes because he's always the master of pulling out those weird gems of stats and puts them in his post game notes. So, yeah. It's always really good to see.
Yeah, poor team.
That's it's funny that you mentioned Jeff Gladney and I know this was a couple weeks ago. We were watching the Vikings Cowboys game, and freaking every time CeeDee Lamb would have a catch, like a sick catch, it would always be against Jeff. And I was like, I know how frustrated he probably is because he got that every year in college, too. That dude always made like the most ridiculous catches in college, and then it just continues on when he's in freaking the NFL. And then, of course, it gets Gladney because Gladney's their best corner right now. So they stuck him on him. And I would just picture Gladney on the Jeff on the sideline just being so frustrated. Like, are you serious? Again.
Think those two share a drink after the game?
Freaking Oklahoma. Maybe. Swap jerseys or something.
Oh, no, that was,
sorry,
that
not
was a depressing game on a couple different levels. Anyway, no, I agree with you, Hunter. I think beating Kansas this way every year should be an annual tradition. Yep. We should never play them close. But like we said, unfortunately, the years we're blowing people out, we somehow lay an egg in Kansas. So, you know, I guess enjoy the fun while we've got it.
Of course.
Who knows what happens in the next conference realignment? Kansas, I don't think, is long for this world in Division One, so we'll see how that goes.
Would you rather have a blowout against Kansas like that every year, or just beat Texas every year?
Beat Texas every year.
Yeah, beat Texas every year. Because I still think Kansas is so bad, you could beat them no matter how bad your team is. Almost.
Well, why do we have to choose between the two? I mean, we seem to be doing pretty good with both.
We're fine, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's figure out them.
The entire Big 12 needs to figure them out.
If anyone figures out Lincoln Riley's offense, call us, because that's the only, you know, their defense, not great, but their offense, no one stopped it yet.
Anybody that plays in the college football playoff.
Even then, they score 50 points a game. They just give up 60.
Yeah.
They might be good this year, but not in the playoffs.
If Oklahoma could find a defense, they'd be – you know, Alabama part two.
Yep.
Be a little crazy. So, well, speaking of Oklahoma, but another Oklahoma team, we've got the Cowboys coming into town on Saturday for an 11 a.m. kickoff.
Ryan's birthday.
Yay!
Yes, happy birthday.
Thank you. I know they're camping my style.
28 or 27? I can't remember which one.
No, it's 25.
25.
I'm fine with 30. I'm 30. 30's good.
Yeah, Ryan, me and you both 30 this year.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, where does the time go? Blur. But so it's gonna be cold. It's perfect football weather. I'm taking my mother-in-law and my two good friends, and we're all four gonna be sitting down together on the east side. Letting my husband and his brother go sit up in the club, so they'll be up there nice and warm. But it's more fun in the stands. I'm gonna admit that it's a lot more fun. So
you don't like the club lifestyle up there?
You know, it's I wouldn't say I don't like it. I will say it's nice when it's hotter than hell outside. But I miss sitting with all my friends. That's the fun part about games is just being everybody together. And that's what's so weird about this year is that, I mean, you just, there's only four of you that can really be together, and we're all spread out everywhere. So I'm looking forward to just the camaraderie of this game. I can't even tell you how much, I mean, I know what the game, but it's just gonna be so much fun sitting down there in the stands that I'm sure half the time we'll be talking. So looking forward to it. And it's gonna be sunny and low, I think the high is 60, so that's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I didn't even see what the weather report's going to be like, but it should be a nice game.
At 11 a.m. It's supposed to be about 53 degrees.
Perfect.
As long as it's not windy, that is amazing.
At about 62.
See, even better.
I mean, you can't ask for, yeah. Oh,
that's perfect.
Cannot be better.
Yeah, it'll be a nice one.
So let's all meet up, who all's there, let's meet up at, like, right before happy hour ends, maybe around 10:15, and grab a beer and cheers.
Are we technically allowed to tailgate and gather, or is this just going to be a anybody listening to this podcast, don't tell anybody, but.
Right. No, you absolutely can down the corridors where they're, you know, selling drinks, so they don't. As long as you have your mask, well, you don't have to have your mask on while you're drinking, but yeah, they want us all to, if you're at the game, you can fraternize, so it's fine.
You don't have to have your mask on if you're drinking, unless you're an Aggie. Did you all see that
picture?
Oh
my God, it was hilarious. So funny. I thought it was You know, those Aggies, just leave it to them. I kind of thought it was good.
You want to describe the picture for those who haven't seen it?
Yes. So if you haven't seen it, you know that the core, which whether you like the Aggies or not, the core is pretty awesome. And they're just known for, I don't know, bucking the system would be the right phrase for it, but they come up with some clever stuff, and they're all up there dressed, you know, to the hill and have these Aggie masks on, but with a hole in the mouth. And so it's like completely defeats the whole purpose of having a mask. But well, you know,
and just to clarify, this was the band.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So yeah.
The,
exactly.
The hole is obviously for, you know, when you have wind instruments, you have to play. I mean, the TCU band have masks. They just take the masks down when they play and then to put the masks back up. But the Aggie band, no, they've invented a whole new mask. It's a mask that stays on the entire. It is. It stays on the entire game, and it just has a hole cut for the mouth. It's perfect.
I mean, COVID's never going to get out of that mask, you know.
Like, it's the most ridiculous looking thing in the entire world. But
I wonder if it like would Velcro. I wonder if they had Velcro in there where they could at least close it.
When I saw it, I was thinking of like, you know, men's underwear with a little flap.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Zipper.
It's so silly.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Only the Aggies.
Only the Aggies. Good for them. Yes. So, yeah, let's meet up. I'll text all y'all.
Yeah, Killer Frogs, yeah. Super secret meetup.
Yep.
Super secret tailgate.
That'll work. So, Oklahoma State, what are we – this is going to be a tough, tough game.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're good.
They are really good.
And they've won their close games.
Yeah, and we seem to have some success when they've come here. I mean, not as much success as we've had against other Big 12 teams, but certainly – you know, when it comes to, you know, the games that we've had a lot of games where we've played them close here at home. And I don't know. I have no idea what to expect out of this game at all. I don't know. What do you think, Dubber? What are you expecting out of this game?
I mean, as scary as it sounds, you know, Oklahoma State's built a little different this year. I mean, they're except for the Oklahoma game, you know, they're playing defense pretty well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's going to be a defensive game. You know, you look at, I mean, you know, of course you think about their offense just being prolific and everything. Well, they're having the same problems we have. You know, they lost, I think, 7 offensive linemen before they even got started, you know? And so they've had those issues, you know? And so I think it's going to be a tough game, but I think it's going to be a defensive game. I really do.
Hunter, how about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Dad on this. You know, Chuba Hubbard has been hurt most of this year, so he's not going to play against us. So, you know, they've had their third string running back.
What you're saying is there's a chance.
There's a chance. Oh, no doubt there's a chance. But I will say they have gotten their quarterback back in Spencer Sanders. Mm. You know, he's definitely had to shake off some of the rust. You know, he missed 3 or 4 games, I think, but he's a pretty good player. So, you know, we're gonna have to play really good in the defensive line this week because that guy's a threat to run. And we're gonna have to eliminate the big play. You know, just can't give up the big running yards that we've, you know, given up against Iowa State and, you know, some of these other teams. Their running back had 235 yards and 3 TDs last week against Tech, which it is against Tech. Mind you, but you know, they're going to try to run the football. So we're going to have to, you know, really not give up those big gains like we have in the past.
And that's been the Achilles heel for this team for a long time. So we'll see how that goes. Nathan, how about you?
Hunter kind of already mentioned it, but my key unit for this game, whether it will be close or not, is the D line. And not even necessarily pass rush. Yeah, we do need to get a pass rush, but they just have to get off blocks. They can't get double teamed to the point where their linemen can get up to our linebackers. Because I think if Wallow can play free like how he has, then I think he'll play well, and I think our defense will rally around that and play well. but our D-line has to do their job and get off blocks and penetrate their O-line. So that's what I'll be looking for. Obviously, we can't give up stupid penalties in the secondary, but I think it'll come down to our D-line and whether or not they can actually produce, which I think Kenny Coleman, I think he'll do fine, but it's that mostly for me, the interior, and just whether or not they'll be able to take up some linemen with them.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because if Wallow can play free and he can keep Sanders contained, there's a chance. Yeah. But if, like Hunter said, if Sanders is able to run all over the field, I don't see how we're going to be able to survive this game. So
I'll tell you what, I've started feeling better about our D line. I mean they've gotten progressively better, I think, all year long. And so, I mean, to me, it's giving up the big play more than it is giving up the big whatever in the D line. I'm not saying it can't happen, but you know, I feel pretty good about our D line. I really do. I mean, they're getting better and better. They're young, but they're getting better. I mean, I just hope we be able to put some points on the board. I do feel like as long as it's close, we'll be running the football. Yeah. I mean, I don't think they want to put it up there. You know, Max just hadn't had a great year as far as being on target. I don't know why. You know, maybe it's because he missed. You know, they missed the spring. He missed all the first of two days. You know, I read some of that about Patterson talking about that. And he just, you know, he just been off a little bit, you know. And so I think that they'll try to keep it on the ground. I mean, our strong suit, supposedly running backs. And, you know, so, hey, I turn around to Evans 20 times a game and see what happens because he's one of the guys that, he makes your offensive line look better, even sometimes when they're not blocking good.
Yeah.
And hey, you know what? Barlow's good. They're all good. But I just think Evans is a different level. I think sometimes it's hard to see because he runs so smooth, but he's the real deal. And I like his attitude. I actually like how the offensive line blocked last week. I know who we were going against, but still, you know, if you're trying to finish blocks, then you're all right. You're doing what you're supposed to. But I agree with you to a point, but I think it's how good our offensive line can block against their defensive line. Our front seven against their deep front seven.
100%. I think that they're going to stack the box on us and make us throw the ball and see if Max can make those throws now. They'll probably have someone on the tight end that can play coverage pretty well. I don't think LSU is the type to watch a game like against Kansas and be like, oh, let's not worry about what they got against Kansas. I think they will cover what we were able to succeed on. I don't think that they'll let us do it on the ground. I think that they'll have someone if Max tries to keep it, I think that someone will be there to take him. So I think that they're going to make us pass it more.
I hope if they do, I hope you're right. I mean, if you are, I hope you're right. I hope we look for the tight end. Because if you're stacking the box, that means you're putting a little guy on the tight end, or either you got a chance to let the tight end break free. I mean, you know, because if you're putting them in all in the box, you're going to man up on the outside receivers. You're going to have to man up on the tight end too. Mm-hmm. If they do that, I mean, we got some really good – tight ends. We got really good wide receivers too, but you know, if they're stacking a box and they're all coming, you know, let's get the ball 10 yards down the field to tight end and use him as a outlet.
Yeah, hopefully we can be smart enough to make plays, like change plays, and not just like, oh, they stacked the box, let's run it anyways. But you know how our offense gets sometimes.
Yeah,
well, I agree with you.
They're very, very, very hard-headed sometimes against trying to get what they want to do, giving what they give
them. Yeah, it'd be nice if Max is given the green light to call some additional audibles here based on what he sees. But Ryan, what do you think?
Well, I was reading an interesting stat that it said, you know, on the year the Horned Frogs are 4-0, we're running for 227 or more yards, and then we're 0-4 when we're under that mark. So I'll definitely be paying a little bit more attention to that yardage this game and see if we stay on par with that or if we kind of break up that record. But I was looking through all their games. I mean, they've been all over the board this season. They've scored 50 points and then they've been held to under 20. It's just been, and that has to do with injuries. Each week is a different week, as we well know. So, but I think it's going to be close. I think it'll definitely be a defensive game. I don't know. I just kind of feeling as long as we wear purple and white, we're going to win. I would really like to see us in our traditional uniforms, but I think it's going to come down to us winning by like, oh my God, like them not making their 2-point conversion and us, you know, winning by, you know, 1 point. It's going to be crazy like that, nerve wracking. But
you think we're going to make the three overtimes? Is that the prediction for two-point conversion?
That's only fun when it's not your team playing because it's like bonus time. But when it's your team, no, I don't want. I hope not. Please don't do that to me because not only am I aging because of my birthday, that will age me like another 10 years. You know,
You'd be celebrating your 32nd birthday, so it's all good.
Right.
I love overtime if you win. I mean,
yeah,
overtime's great if you win.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Favorite game. Yeah, I mean that one was amazing that we won. But had we lost that game back then, I mean, I probably would have just laid down and died right there, frozen and wet in the stands, you know, from that.
Talking about the one
weather.
5 years ago.
Yeah, but you know what? That was one of the greatest wins.
Oh, it was completely.
TCU.
Yeah, and it was
unbelievable.
The weather was absolutely terrible that game. What was that, Nathan?
It was fun only because we won. That made up for all the weather. Yeah. I didn't care. I was just like, I don't care how cold it is. As long as you freaking win, I just want to go home.
Yeah, like had we lost that, that'd have been the worst day of my life. Like, you know, like football, regarding football, the worst day of my life. It's been like kind of like the Independence Bowl in 1994. How bad that was.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't here on earth for that one.
Oh my God.
Talk about making you feel old, huh?
It was my freshman year in college. That's so weird.
Oh my gosh.
My parents were probably making me at the time.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not okay with that at all. Stop.
Ryan, I will agree with Ryan. I'm with you, Ryan. I just got a feeling.
Yeah.
I got a feeling we're going to play good. I just, you know, every time I get totally frustrated, it seems like, and I think, you know, because I'm not sold on the offense at all, our offense. I'm a little more sold on our defense. And everything says Oklahoma State, you know, probably should beat us, blah, 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 this, that. But I just got a feeling that we're going to play good.
You know, on paper, they should beat us. And, you know, they're also playing for the Big 12 championship game, and we're not. But I almost feel like that's just a little added pressure that they may not be able to handle this season just because of how we've had no consistency this season. I think added pressure isn't a bonus for teams this year. A lot of times that makes you play better, but I just think it's weird this year. And it's going to hurt them. Yeah. But our guys, I mean, they're coming off a great win regardless of the team. Kind of what we were talking about last week is they feel good about themselves. Hopefully they've had a good week of practice and we're home. It's going to be beautiful. I just think the stars might kind of align and they may not be more talented, but that doesn't mean that they can't win. We know that very well. So I feel good about it.
I do too.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's I think there's more than a chance. I agree with you, Dubber. I think the defensive line has grown up quite a bit. I think the offensive line is starting to show some true grit there and starting to kind of get a feel for what it is that they need to do. And when you have a back like Evans, I think not only does it make the offensive line look better sometimes when they're not playing better, but it gives them a little bit more confidence that, you know, it lowers that level of pressure on them that they have to be perfect because they have to be in order to get, you know, get the running back the hole that they need. When you have a guy like Evans, he can make something out of nothing sometimes. So you don't have as much pressure on you to make that, you know, to hit that block. You'd want the guy to do that, but sometimes having that pressure kind of come off on you a little bit can kind of help you play a little bit better in the game. But I agree with all of y'all. I think it's going to be a defensive game. Offensively, I think we're going to trade blows quite a bit. I think not having, you know, Oklahoma State's top running back in this game is huge for us, but having the quarterback back, even if he is a little rusty, Spencer can really do some damage, especially with those receivers that Oklahoma State has. But if the defensive line can play well and allow, you know, the linebackers to play free and then be able to, you know, contain those big plays from the quarterback position, I think not only are we going to see this kind of back and forth, this ebb and flow, but I think if we hit the ground running with Evans and Barlow and some of these other guys, I think we'll eventually be able to wear down the Oklahoma State defense. So, I mean, that first half is going to be just a bear to watch because it's going to look like nobody's doing anything and it's going to look very boring. But I think by the second half, I think we'll wear them down and the dam will finally break in our favor. But it's going to be one of those games. It's going to be a war of attrition. So we'll see how it goes. So
you got the right word. The offensive line has got grit. They're starting to show grit now.
Yep.
I don't know. You can overcome a lot of things if you just get after it. And so I'll tell you the other advantage we have. I'm kind of a believer in our return game.
Yeah,
I think that's a distinct advantage for us. You know, I get scared sometimes because Darius Davis, he'll catch the ball in any kind of traffic. He doesn't like the fair catch. I mean, nope. You know, he's gotten a little better about it, but at any time, we got a guy to take it back to the house. I mean, he can take it all the way. I think that's a huge advantage for us. And you know what? I mean, you know, if you get all three of your different aspects of your game clicking at the same time, that's when you got a chance to have a good game.
Yeah.
And that's been pretty good all year long, actually.
Yeah, I think TCU definitely has the intangibles here. I mean, when it comes to special teams, I think we've got – I think from a punting perspective,
yep.
I think from field goals, I think we're about even. But, you know, that return game is going to be huge for TCU.
Yep.
And I think Davis is going to be one of those kind of X factors for us. In this particular game, he breaks one free. Who knows what's going to happen for the rest of this game? That'll be really nice to see. So, who knows? We'll see how
it goes. Even if you're talking 10, 15 yards every time, that's hard to do on punts and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, flipping that field 10, 15, 20 yards every time almost, you know, that's nice. I mean, that really is. That takes a 45-yard punt, makes a 30-yard punt real quick, you know, and so – I mean, flipping the field like that, I mean, people don't think about it as much as you probably should, especially today's game, but flipping that field is something else.
Yep, especially with our offense. As
yep.
close as we can get to the to the end zone is good in our book. So, yeah, that'll be good.
Took the words out of my mouth, Sean.
Yeah. Glad I wasn't the only one thinking it.
Yeah.
So, all right, so let's see what we're thinking. Let's go over this week's predictions. And Nathan, why don't we start with you? What is your prediction? TCU, Oklahoma State. And Ryan, what do you want for the tiebreaker this time around?
Well, I think I like that stat, you know, that since we're 4-0 and 0-4 when running for 227 yards. So
rushing yards?
Let's do that.
Guess rushing yards?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so you get to – so the stat is when they're 227 or more, they're 4-0. When they're below 227, they're 0-4. So will they stay true to that or will they
– Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. 227 yards, you better be winning a lot of games.
I agree that it will be a defensive game. But I also think there will be touchdowns. I think that it'll start slow. So I'm still going to go 38-31 TCU.
Solid.
Rushing. Are we going TCU rushing yards?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to I'm gonna break the streak. I'm gonna go. I still think we win, but we're gonna rush for 215.
215. Okay. All right.
I'll go under the mark of 215.
All right, Ryan. How about you?
Okay, so I think I'm gonna go back to it just being a nail biter in 21-20. And isn't that true? Let me make sure. But like when isn't it when you're the away team, you typically go ahead and go for 2 points and not the tie? And if you're the home team, you might just go for the tie and then play in overtime. Isn't that typically how you'd rather do it? You'd rather play in overtime at home than away?
Yep.
Okay. So that's okay. So that it'll work out that way then. All right. And so then,
okay. Or lots of field goals, either one is fun.
Or that, yeah. That's true. For rushing, golly, you know, I'm kind of with Nathan. I think we're just going to break records, set records. You know, it's just going to be, you know, par of the course for 2020. So I'm going to go to 220. I'm going to go 220 for 2020.
All right. 220, Hunter?
Yeah.
Well, I think we have a good chance to win this game. You know, we've got to come out and play well. Max, I think, is going to have a better passing game than he's had the last couple weeks. He has to for us to win, I think. But I also think we're going to run the ball really well. He didn't have to throw for 300 yards for us to win. He just has to pass effectively enough. So I'm going to say a 27-24 win, Frogs. And we're going to keep the trend going with 228 yards rushing.
Nice.
So yeah, that's my prediction.
I like
Zach
it.
Evans 100 again, 100 yards again. Zach Evans.
All right.
Okay.
Predicting that as well, just in general.
I'm gonna throw that in there.
Yeah.
All right, Dubber.
Well, now I got to rethink because I probably she just took my score.
We can do the tiebreaker.
Well, we think a lot alike on this game, so.
229.
Where's the winner?
$1.
I'm going to go 20. Golly, just kind of hacked me off. That he
took. Yeah, you got to do what you did to me last time. Just go up by one.
All right, 28. I'm going 28-21.
All right.
Since he did that, I'm gonna give us a little more of a cushion. I'm going to say we're going to run for, because this is what everybody's forgetting. Max is going to want to win this game, and if he can't do it with his arm, he's going to be back. He's going to do some running. So yeah. We're going to get about – I'm going to say we're going to get 230.
Nice.
230 yards on the ground. We're all right.
200, right?
What's that?
We're all in the 200s for rushing. We are.
Yeah, so far.
Actually, I was going to go the other direction and give Max a lot more passing. I go, well, why do that? Let's just go for the – no use of breaking the tradition. If it happens the other way and we win, are we really going to care?
No,
not at all. Run as long as we win, right? Who cares what it ends up being? I'm going to go 37-34 TCU. Okay. And I'm doing 275 yards.
Wow.
Yes.
Someone's going off.
Do you know something I don't know?
Who's leading rusher, Sean?
Leading rusher will be Zach Evans.
Yeah, we're all on the Zach Evans train.
You're not giving Max
the Zach Evans.
Now, I said leading rusher. I didn't say, you know, that Max was just going to just hand off the ball all day long. I think Max is going to probably have close to a 100-yard day, but I think Evans is going to be. I think he will too, but I think Evans is going to be close to 150.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes.
I hope so.
Yep. Who knows? I originally was thinking 300. You know, 300, 320, something around there, because I have a feeling.
Why don't you just go big, Sean? Do it. Say it.
Go big or go home. I'm going to stick with 275. I'm going to play the prices right.
That's
here.
Pretty big.
I'm already, I don't want to go over. True. I don't want to go over. But So far, I'm more than y'all. So we'll see how that goes.
Throw out there, we're averaging 197 yards rushing a game. So he's already going pretty big.
I am.
He's not a pushover either.
Well, but, you know, Evan's got his first start last week, and I think we're going to see a second start this week. And I think we're going to see something special out of him. So it'll be interesting to see.
I tell you what's happened, too, especially with the running backs, because we have some good ones. And because we have some good ones, the coaches, I don't think, have necessarily just anointed anybody. So, you know, when Barlow comes out there and runs after Evans has been out there, that dude runs. Mm-hmm. He runs hard. I mean, in the backfield, when everybody knows that when you get your piece of the pie and get out there, you better be getting it, because if you're not getting it, you're not going to be out there long. So I think that whole competition back there is really, even though I think you got to give Evans the ball more than anybody else, I still think the other guys, you know, Barlow had a good game too, you know.
Mm-hmm. And Kendre Miller.
I mean,
DeMarco, they've all, honestly, the running backs have all been pretty good.
I think it's based off of who has the best practice week. I think that's who they're getting the start to. So whoever has the best week of practice is getting the start.
Mm-hmm. I think
I halfway agree with you, because if they're all having a really good week of practice, I think they go, who's our most talented guy? All right, it's a freshman. Let's start.
Yeah, true.
What happened?
Yeah. Who did the most on special teams in practice?
Yeah, it's not like a Patterson team to give a start to a freshman, a true freshman like that as a running back.
Yeah, they make him earn it.
Yeah, they have to earn it. So, you know, Evans must have had one heck of a practice if that's the metric they're going off of.
Well, you know, you listen to him, and if you see anything he's put on, you know, like even on Twitter or whatever, I don't know exactly, or Instagram, but I've read a few things, and you know, his attitude's been great. Even when he wasn't playing and getting him,
he's been awesome.
He's been, I don't know if somebody coached him up or whatever, but he said all the right things every time to me.
Who is our running backs coach?
Not Anderson.
I think he's tied in the line.
Is that Applewhite or something like that?
Yeah, it's Applewhite.
I really don't know.
That's
he's the guy from Colorado State, Brian Applewhite.
Did I do his name?
Yeah, that is scary that you were the one that knew. I knew his first name, but I couldn't remember the last name.
I mean, that could have been around the
name. I am not scared to make up a name. Real
Jeez, no.
People I know.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be a good game. It's great weather, so if you're still on the fence and you can get tickets, come out to the game, because I think it's going to be great. Even if it's an 11 o'clock start, get a mimosa, get a Bloody Mary.
Find Ryan.
I think she said drinks are on her, so I think that's
what
she
said. Might as well. If you're looking for tickets, call TCU. I isn't that right, WC? Did you find tickets at TCU that one time? Or
Well, I did. I actually, somebody was looking. I told them to call TCU.
TCU. They've got them. And I'm sure you can negotiate.
Well, and if you're looking to buy from another frog, you can always go to you know, killerfrogs.com and go to the forum and the ticket exchange forum. There's usually a couple of tickets that are available, you know, even on game day, because, you know, with families and everything else that 2020 has given us, some people's plans change at the last second. So we would rather have Frog fans sitting there than somebody else. Yeah. So check there first before you call the school. But either way, you should be able to find tickets for this game. Yep. Come on out, because it's going to be a heck of a time. It'll be a lot of fun to cheer them on. And after this game, we get one more home game with Louisiana Tech. So, you know, maybe 2020's turned a corner here. It's kind of nice to end on a high note here and get another home game in front of a crowd here in Fort Worth. So it'd be good to see. And of course, these athletes, you know, deserve every single bit of support we can give them for everything that they've done this season. And they have just been spectacular. They have really come together as a team, and I think they've really done the school proud. So, you know, it's going to be a fun game. We're going to see everybody out there on Saturday. I'll be doing the play-by-play in the forum, so you can go ahead and check that out. And I think with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody out there listening to us. We are on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, pretty much everywhere you can find podcasts. And everyone is distracting me because they're doing a pre-frog up. That's nice. I like that. That's pretty good. Dubber, you look like you're prancing all of a sudden. I'm not going to get into that. Of course, you can find TCU on all the social media accounts. Of course, go to killerfrogs.com, sign up for a free account, discuss TCU athletics on our forum, and of course, join in on that score thread, the prediction thread, and Ryan will hand out fabulous prizes if you happen to win this week's score prediction. And with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's a time where we all get our frogs up.
Aww.
And we
get
to Nathan, you're cheating. He's got like a frog pillow.
The pillow pet.
Oh, the pillow pet. Wow. It's so the pillow. Cute.
He's got a super frog pillow pet. That is awesome.
I do.
Awesome. Look at that. And I don't
too
want,
can have one from
if
the
my
book
wife
store,
sees it, she's going to want one. All right. So with that, with that, we get the frogs up and we get to say,
Go Frogs.
Beat Oklahoma State.
All right. Thanks,
beat the
John.
Cowboys because everybody else in the NFL has.
Exactly. Yeah, they just need to lose every game, get a good draft pick, be done. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.